I'm the John that's having pizza tonight.
And I'm the John that once watched the entire trilogy of Lord of the Rings on a flight to New Zealand.
And I'm not John. And for once, I don't know what to say because I'm surprised John was prepared. This is Would John Rather, where I ask two people called John, would they rather questions. They are unprepared, they don't know what I'm going to say, and we end up talking about something completely different. So, on this beautiful sunny day, once again, John, would you rather not be able to forget anything that's happened to you in your life, or be able to delete memories from your brain permanently?
I'd rather the memory. I'd rather be able to remember everything, if that's what we're asking. Or are we just saying not be able to forget things that are traumatic or things that upset you or things that are really embarrassing? Are we saying that you can remember absolutely everything, or are we choosing to not remember things that we don't find pleasant?
So you'd have total recall, or you could have go through an awful breakup and delete it, but then you have no memory of it. So when people talk to you, you're like, what are you on about? And you just, you're never going to remember it again.
Like Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Minds. Is that what it was?
I think that's
Jim Carrey?
Yeah, I think that's what that film was about, actually. I watched it in my first year of university, but I don't really remember much of it.
No, neither do I. I'm going for the memory recall because I'm doing a massive module at the moment for aircraft technology stuff. And I'm going through avionics and flight systems, and they're all very complicated, and if I could remember it all, I'd be able to absolutely ace my exam, and I'd be praised for my intellect, and it would just be really useful for loads of aircrafty stuff. There's lots of different nuances you've got to learn, and if I was going to learn to work on large aircraft, they are very big and they've got a lot of complicated systems. So if I could learn how all of that works and be able to recall it, I think for what I need in life, it would be a good trade-off to remember that one incident where I tried to open a door and it was either a push or pull, and I made a fool of myself, and the receptionist was like shaking her head and just going, why are you here? If you can't open the door, go away.
At least it wasn't revolving. So I would actually go the other way. I would rather be able to delete memories because, you know, actually, in terms of being able to remember everything anyone ever said, as much as you think that it will help you win arguments, for instance, it doesn't. People only resent you for remembering what they said in the past. Not drawing on any
troubles at home, John.
Here.
Troubles at home.
No, I'm just talking generically. And I think there would be some huge advantages to being able to delete specific memories. Imagine you went to a comedy gig and you came out of it and went, that was the best comedy gig I've ever been to. It was so funny, but it's never as funny the second time round. Imagine if you could just have that pleasure all over again, because you could just say, you know what, I'm just going to delete that memory and go see it again.
That would be useful. And if anyone spoiled a film for you, you could just delete that memory and then watch the film and it'll be all right.
Yeah, thanks for bolstering my argument, John.
Yeah, it definitely cements that the whole concept of, well, there's a first time for everything. There's a Bayside lyric, isn't there? It goes, oh, wondering what it will be like. My first smoke, my first fuck, my next fuck up. Wondering what band will change my life. Like that first time that you see your girlfriend or your wife. You could have that every day. Every single day, you could wake up and go, ah, who's this in bed next to me? But you could delete it. You could, by all senses and purposes, I mean, you could have those first experiences time and time again. You'd need to be very careful what ones you picked, as I said. But that's a very good argument. Sorry, John, I believe I rudely interrupted you thrice.
That's another band that... No, actually, I do like Thrice. I do like them. I wasn't going to diss them like Bayside. This is my career we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the amount of stuff I'm going to have to know and need to learn and be able to retain to be a useful engineer. If I deleted stuff willy-nilly, I think I'd be less of a person. If I, you know, had an unfortunate circumstance where I fell off my bike and ended up in traffic, which has happened, and it was quite quite traumatic. I didn't enjoy it, but it's something I want to keep with me because it's something that will remind me to ride safely when I'm filtering through traffic and I'm trying to be a good road user, because I didn't put myself in a position where I was obstructing anyone. A guy passed me too close. He hit me with his wing mirror. I went into the middle of the road, and it was scary. I had a Mondeo like steaming towards me. I thought I was going to die. But I didn't. The guy stopped to pick me up. He was a Samaritan, which was really, really good spot of luck. And he sort of got me a sugar cup of tea to stop me from being in shock. And he was a really nice, pleasant bloke. So as much as it was traumatic and scary, if I didn't have the initial scary fear bit where I ended up in the road and just had a memory of a creepy man that I'd never met before in my house making me a cup of tea, I lose context. It becomes a little bit worrying. And then I go, well, why do I remember this? I don't think I want to remember this. This is a bit strange. This isn't right. So I delete that. And then that's well over an hour of my life when I was 13 that I've just lost. As much as there are many, many times in my life that I don't remember because it's just banal and not worth remembering.
So I reckon if we're going to bring it,
I've got with me.
If we can bring it back to your point about careers, I can definitely see the benefits of having total recall over everything you've ever been told, knowledge-wise. But equally, you could probably advance your career by being selectively forgetful. By, you know, you could do those horrible jobs that nobody else wants to do and get lots of money for them, like being an executioner. And instead of having terrible dreams about pulling the switch, you just delete it and go, oh, that was fine.
I was going to say, I suppose I've invested too much time and money into learning how aircraft work, and if I had no memory, I could just then delete it all and not care.
Oh, and that's all we've got time for, folks.
There we go. Sorry.
Did you just grab your phone from the wall?
Do you need to get that?
No, it's just reception. Or Darius, one of the two. But I know we're cutting this out, so don't worry.
Oh, no, we're not.
A good
example that I've got of, I may have told you this fact before, but I can't tell. It's one of those things that I'm really glad I know this information, because it's really interesting and not a lot of people actually know it. And on that same vein, it has ruined my life to a degree. Do you know the difference between envy and jealousy?
Yes.
Okay. What is the difference?
Oh,
so
I know the feeling. I thought jealousy was like of a possession or something that someone has that you don't and you want it.
No,
envy is
when someone else has something that you want, so you envy them. Jealousy is when you're worried someone's going to take something of yours away from you.
I thought it was just paranoia.
No, so if you're on a night out with your wife and a gentleman comes over and starts talking to her, you'd feel jealous because you're worried that he's going to take away something of yours. He is feeling envy because he wants something that you have. Now, nobody uses the word envy. Everybody uses the word jealousy in pop songs, in pop culture, in TV and films, even in like the kids' slang, and they go, oh, well, Joe, oh, no way, you've got that brand new PlayStation green. And they're not jealous at all. They're envious. And 2 points on this matter is, number one, I hate the fact that people are using this wrong. And number two, I learned this from the Simpsons movie, because Homer explains the difference and Lisa looks up from a dictionary and goes, ah, he's right. And I went, nah, bollocks, looked it up and went, oh, no, that's correct. And I can't delete that. That's stuck in my head. So I get so angry when people say that they're jealous, and it's such a mundane, small thing that it's just ruined at least one small part of probably every other day of my life.
Every other day?
How often do you hear people say the word jealous or jealousy?
Quite often.
Exactly.
This is a ruin my day, though. I can't get why it ruins yours.
Because
to that fact.
You haven't had to live with that knowledge yet.
Yeah. You come back to me in a few weeks.
I completely understand, Matt, where you're coming from, because I have the same issue with when I see 5 items or less in your shopping basket. When you see that sign, it just boils my blood. It's 5 items or fewer. For goodness sake, Tesco. And I almost, you know, I quite like that I know the difference, but I also would love to be able to just delete that so that it just didn't bother me.
Yeah, there's certainly with great power comes great responsibility. And
then I don't want any responsibility.
Exactly. And the thing is, you correct people, they're not grateful.
They just hate you
more. They hate you more.
Welcome to the Would John Rather Grow podcast, which has happened most weeks now.
But no, so...
Here endeth first lesson.
But then I do... Yeah, I have to say, because that's definitely a tick in the being able to delete things column. But then having an eidetic memory essentially is what we're talking about. And it's all those mistakes that make you who you are. Like, the amount of mistakes that I've made in my life, and I'm sure we all have, that if at the time I could, whether it be a mistake I've made that's a big impact on my life, or a breakup I've been through that was not my fault, and if I could just delete those memories and delete that pain, I'd feel better in the short term.
Using the word less when you meant fewer.
Exactly. But you wouldn't learn from those experiences. And John's point about not being a human anymore, you'd be like Data from Star Trek.
So you'd be fewer than what you would be now.
You've actually just turned this problem. Somehow made it worse.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't know which makes fewer sense.
Oh dear. I mean, have either of you got any more to say? Because I kind of hijacked that a bit, but I felt like we've educated and cursed all the listeners with that information. But yeah, any more points you'd like to make?
No.
No.
That's a really difficult one. That's a really difficult one. Because on the one hand, I think if I didn't get the power to delete things until I was about 25 to 30, then I think that I wouldn't abuse it. But I think if you had it from birth, then you would delete things that you know what it's like when you're younger and everybody that's a few years older tells you, oh, I know better. And you go, no, you don't. And then you get older and you start speaking to people younger than you going, I know better. And they go, no, you don't. And a few years later, they come to you and go, oh, guess what? You did know better. So I feel like I'd abuse that power to the point that it would not benefit me. If I had that choice later in life, I feel like it would. So I'm going to have to rule in favor of having to remember everything. I've had many awful experiences in my life, but they all led me to where I am today. So I wouldn't change it, genuinely. So yeah, that was a summary in fewer words than expected.
Cool. Thank you for the win. I'm glad you feel the same.
No problem. As always, please tweet at us, WouldJRather, #WouldJRather, with any of your questions you'd like us to be asking. And if they're suitable, and I think it's going to be difficult for them to both answer, or harrowing for them to answer, then we'll use them. So, question two. Would you rather be able to speak all languages, so you could speak to any person, or be able to speak to any animal, and they can speak back? It's a two-way street.
I'm letting John answer, because we all know which one I pick.
I think I would rather be able to speak to the animals, because then I could tell them how much I hate them.
Wow.
And they could understand. Whoa. It. That would be brilliant.
Wow.
I was going to say, I'd like to be able to talk every language so that I could correctly put across people's feelings and opinions, because the reason Vladimir Putin doesn't speak English in a lot of press conferences is because he doesn't want to be misinterpreted, which I think is a very wise decision from a leader of a very, very powerful country.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to say exactly what he wants to say without having to be handicapped by speaking it in a second language. So I would like to try and be able to solve, not necessarily like the crisis in the Middle East, because that's possibly going to go on indefinitely, but just other disputes with other countries, and then I'd maybe work up to the Middle East as my peacemaking abilities grew. And subsequently, I'd like to be able to know what people are saying in restaurants, like when I go to an Indian or a Chinese, to know whether they're going to say, oh, is that guy again? Dig out the masala from 3 weeks ago, that'd be good enough. Which is probably not what they're saying, but I had a sort of a bad experience when I was in Wales, believe it or not. my nan lived in a retirement sort of facility, loads of bungalows everywhere. And she moved out there with absolutely brilliant intentions. And by the time the sort of the locals knew she was English, she'd go to get the newspaper or a loaf of bread. She'd go down the high street in a little village nearby. And she could hear people that lived a few streets away talking English with their Welsh accent. And then as she gets closer and closer, they'd switch to Welsh. And then when they thought that she was out of earshot again, they switched back to English, which is incredibly, incredibly petty. I know it's not like that for all the Welsh. I know that's not like that for all the Welsh people. But if I could understand them and I could use the same language, I'd be like, oh, you know, don't worry, don't change my camp. And then let them know that actually that behavior is not acceptable. I don't care where they're from or what language it is. Manners are manners. I could use it in Hindi. I could use it in Swahili. I could use it in Urdu, French, whatever. But that sort of circumstance really, really grates me. And I'd like to be able to, well, try and make the world a better place.
Very
with my ability to talk every language.
Very endearing of you. John, care to riposte?
I would go and speak to some birds and organise mass bombings of places with their eggs that I didn't fancy.
So close to what I was going to say. I was going to say I'd speak to all the birds and arrange a bird army and basically take control of the world.
Yeah, like Angry Birds.
Have you ever played Angry Birds?
Yeah, you shoot them and then they drop eggs on people.
No.
Yeah, the big white ones do.
Do they? Oh.
Yeah,
the big white ones do.
Oh, okay.
You drop the eggs and they explode. I'd be in a quite a powerful position with all the parakeets on my side to go and I could just bring it. There's two ways of bringing about world peace: getting everybody to agree mutually, or forcing them to come to your way of thinking. And I'm going to bring about world peace by getting all the birds on my side to go and peck the people who disagree with me.
I'm going to use my multilingual skills to talk to every double glazer in the world, and we're going to put up big walls. And your birds are going to fly straight into them and break their necks, and we're going to unite against the tyranny of your avian brethren.
It's not just birds. If he could talk to all animals, he could be sort of the bridge between the animal kingdom, and he could have, you know, albatrosses carrying boa constrictors over your country and just dropping them down, and the boa constrictors could just be parasailing down and then attack from the land, and then you've got the land and the sky.
Welcome to Would John Rather, the strategy podcast where we talk about military warfare
using animals.
you wouldn't talk to wolves and form like a massive wolf pack or anything.
Well, that's a bit too obvious, isn't it? But
okay, sure. Yeah.
One man wolf pack.
Let's move on. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, you could do so much. You could have an army of elephants.
Thinking about weaponizing pigeons.
Lack of ambition strikes me again.
Yeah. So don't just use birds. Like, you could persuade them to breed with each other to have new hybrids.
Bring back the dinosaurs.
How?
Get a
crocodile and a kangaroo to make love, and then you get a T-Rex. That's not how it works.
That's exactly how it works.
An ostrich and a monitor lizard.
Velociraptor, I like that. John, your wife is an archaeologist of some description. I'm pretty sure she'll tell you about the birds and the bees of modern day animals will not make
birds dinosaurs. And the bees. Imagine birds with stings.
Wow.
I'm not on board with this at all, because things with stingers that are that big are basically hornets, and they are not friendly. I'm not liking this at all. I'm trying to help the world as you're trying to tear it apart.
You could literally, everyone could like work together, because you could have the birds flying over the top holding tarantulas in their hands, and the tarantulas could use their web to lower down scorpions. Like, dun, 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 dun. And you could, like,
what are you achieving with this, apart from terrorizing the world?
No.
Making people upset.
I think the animals...
Driving sales of newspapers through the roof as people roll them up and smash their arachnids with them.
I just think speaking to all the animals would be, it's a lot more exciting than being able to communicate with all people, because, you know, if I want to speak with somebody in some language that I don't speak, I'll just go on Google Translate. Can't Google Translate to the language of chimps?
Well, they did teach a chimp and a gorilla to use sign language.
That they did.
Okay, but have they ever taught a
muskrat,
hummingbird, or a muskrat, or one of those pin cushions that walk around? Porcupines.
Porcupines. Now, I'm almost ready to A, side with talking to animals 100%, and also drop John number two from the podcast, and we just start our own military podcast talking about what animals we would use to weaponize. But before we do that, I'm going to...
You're going to give me an answer for why I'm John number two.
Because you in this specific example, you'd be the John that we were dropping from the podcast.
We all agreed he was John one and I was John A.
Okay, but...
There was no lower tier Johns.
Okay. But my point being is you're able to communicate with these animals. That's absolutely fine. They can speak to you. You can speak to them. But what level of intelligence do they actually possess as a whole? I mean, I can speak to most humans, but a good percentage of them don't understand what I'm talking about. So,
well, I mean, that is a little bit of a spanner in the works. I mean,
I'm sure there'll be certain animals that do understand, like elephants, I'm sure, would, dolphins, possibly dogs, maybe cats. But when you get down to it,
some dogs like to chase their own tails and bark at the mirror.
I self-admitted that I like to go around revolving doors more than once. Like, that doesn't make me any less intelligent. But when you get down to, you know, your arachnids and your ants and your snakes and your birds, I mean, you don't call someone a bird brain for nothing. Are they really going to understand? Or are they just going to be constantly screaming, food, 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 food at you? And you're like, no, listen, if we're together, right, so you pick up the tarantula and the bird's going, food?
So the gull eats the tarantula. And then you've got no tarantulas.
Exactly. So they could very easily misunderstand you.
The only good conversation you'll have would be dolphins. How many dolphins have you got nearby, John?
Well, right now?
Yes.
Six or seven.
And how many of them want to talk to you?
Well, none of them, because they're still offended that the first thing I came out with was that I would just use my new powers to tell them all that I hate them. So, you know, we've had a feud since then, and, you know, we're not on talking terms yet.
It'd be a very different film if Dr. Doolittle just drove around the city going, hey, look, a squirrel, when he rolls down the door and go, hey, squirrel, fuck you!
Much better film.
Oh, definitely.
Nuts are overrated!
Just going around telling, like, people's pet cats that they're fat, and the cats are just like, oh... Oh, could you imagine the look on the face of a cat if you told it that you didn't actually like its gift of a dead bird? Is there a sadder thought? Or telling your dog that he's a bad boy?
Thing is, you can tell a dog he's a bad boy, and he knows that he's not in your good books. If you tell a cat you don't like its present, the cat would turn around and go, nah, fuck you, whatever, starve to death then, I don't care. Because cats are indifferent. We've been through this, like, every episode.
Oh, I'm fully aware. I'm just saying that I know dogs kind of understand when you tell them they've been bad, but if they could fully comprehend what you meant by it and you actually said to your dogs, like, you've been a bad dog and I don't love you anymore, is there a sadder thought?
Well, I mean, you still would presumably have self-restraint. You don't go around telling your family members every day that you don't love them anymore.
Well, not every day. There's only so many hours. I've got stuff to do.
You got to have a bath together.
Yeah.
With the one brother you do like.
Me in the bath with my brother telling him I don't love him anymore.
This is my point. You've got self-restraint. You don't need to go around telling them things you don't want to say to them.
I find this very difficult because you've both got several siblings that you can tell either you do or do not like them. I've got the one. And it's like, roll the dice, what are we going to have today?
Probably. I mean, I feel like this is going off topic now.
Yeah, very off topic.
Oh, okay.
any further points on animals versus humans?
I would be making the world a better place. John would be making it terrifying. if he go get his way.
John?
I think I've said my piece.
Okay, so the argument is as close to world peace as we could ever potentially get, or John and his panda army. I think I'd think about it for a long time, but I think I'd want to be able to speak all languages and comprehend all languages, because the worry that animals don't have the right understanding to be able to comprehend what you're trying to speak to them. I mean, it might not be too bad. It might be like the Batista from Guardians of the Galaxy, where they just take everything literally, or it might be literally a case of all they shout is food, sex, like, could you imagine?
Like, it's no different to talking to students.
Exactly. And I don't know whether it'd be worth that risk. If you could guarantee me that you could speak to those animals and they would comprehend and understand what you were saying and vice versa, then animals would win hands down. Who doesn't want a camel army? Like, just who, you know, that would be amazing. But it's not worth the risk. And you could still do certain things if you could speak all languages. You could be like a triple agent. You don't have to use it for good. You can still use that for evil as well. So, yeah, all languages, I think it would just be probably be more useful.
Unless you're a vet.
Yeah.
But you've made your decision. You're siding with me.
You'll never get to be Fidel Castro.
Oh, if you carry on with these puns, I don't know whether to give you a promotion or a one-episode ban.
Chairman I suppose Meow.
I suppose it's the same thing, really, because I'd be doing twice as much work. I have to be arguing with myself while he gets to sit there and listen to me.
I mean, if you've been
listening... Struggle if for an hour.
If you've been listening back to the episode, sometimes you do argue with yourself.
Well, that is true, I do.
No, I don't.
No, this isn't a bloody pantomime. Oh, yes, you do. Would you like to ask me a question?
Oh, it's my turn this week, isn't it?
I've lost count. It's been so long since we recorded the last episode, I don't really remember.
I'm going to claim it, because I've got a good one. Matthew, for your next birthday, you are going to be the grand old age of 30.
This is true.
For your next birthday, would you want a
wait,
five-year-old's birthday
wait,
party?
To wait, no, no, oh. No. Would I rather?
Right. For your birthday next year, would you rather have a five-year-old's birthday party or a funeral to celebrate the passing of your 20s?
Ooh. Okay, first of all, my question time. When you say, would I rather have a five-year-old's birthday party, does this mean it's planned for a five-year-old and then I hijack it?
What's the difference between that and us throwing your birthday party for a five-year-old theme? So no alcohol, but you do get a bouncy castle.
I mean, the difference is that I wouldn't be making children cry, so it would probably be less fun. So it's very important. Are we just stealing a five-year-old's birthday party, or are you throwing me a birthday party as if I was a five-year-old?
The latter.
Okay. So no children were harmed in the making of this question.
No.
So the funeral of my 20s would be more like a this is your life kind of deal, wouldn't it?
With alcohol, a coffin. And people telling you how good you were when you were in your 20s.
Oh, I mean...
And a coffin with all of your bad mistakes from your 20s in that you can get rid of. You can bury them 6 foot deep.
Ah, yeah, like a burn book. Like, throw so many ex-girlfriends in there. Wow, no, we're not going to talk about burying ex-girlfriends alive or burning them. That's a bit too dark.
That's how you got the last restraining order.
That makes six. I mean, there's nothing saying that there can't be alcohol at a five-year-old's birthday party. There was certainly alcohol at plenty.
Yes, because five-year-olds don't drink.
No, but there's adults that are going to be there.
Are you going to be the adult, or are you going to be the five-year-old having a party?
Well, they're all still there at the party.
And being a responsible parent, no one's going to give you alcohol, because that's how it works at a five-year-old's birthday. Or at least it did in my
house. Right, okay, so I'm not having a themed party as though I was a five-year-old. I'm being treated like a five-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jelly and ice cream, parcel, that works.
And
me and John get party bags.
Yeah, I remember having a birthday party and not getting a party bag because it was my party and being really pissed off about it.
the fact that everyone bought you presents and you got cake.
Yeah, but everyone got a piece of my cake. I never agreed to share my cake. Oh, it's difficult because I like jelly and ice cream. I really enjoy Pass the Parcel. And I want a bouncy castle.
I thought you were going to say cider.
And a ball pool and all things like that. But then, I mean, I really enjoy, you know, whether or not, like, because I'm all on and off, like, the drinking and everything. So the drinking doesn't really come into it for me personally, but other people it certainly does. But a day of just discussing all of the stupid shit I've ever done with my nearest and dearest.
And people only telling you how good you were.
And people only
telling... Because that's all people ever do.
Telling me how good I was. And then potentially, like, two family members getting drunk and having a fight. Because, trust me, I've run a lot of funerals, and that happens more often than you'd think. Emotions are running high, the liquor's flowing, and then something comes up from when they were 11, and that's it, game over. So, I don't know.
You're fighting both sides. You're doing a pretty convincing job at both right now.
I know, I know. I'd like everyone to be able to have a drink. I'd like everybody to be nice to me, and I'd like to be laughing about all the mistakes I've made. But I do like the idea of a kid's birthday party. And, I don't know. Okay, what specify? So the funeral is just a wake. It's a wake. That's what it is. That's straightforward. But a kid's birthday party, what have I got? Have I got a petting zoo? Have I got a Ferris wheel?
Mate, we're not made of money. Calm down.
Okay.
You've got a magician. Be happy with that.
You've got
a magician, a bouncy castle, and unfortunately, because your birthday is not in the summer, you don't get barbecue. So it's like cold pizzas, sausage rolls, like sandwiches cut with the crusts off, like into four, so they're like tiny triangles.
Well, the catering's going to be
sausages.
Be the same as it is at a funeral, so yeah, it's really difficult, but just because of something you just said, I'm going to go with the five-year-old's birthday party. Now,
it's the cold mini pizzas, isn't it?
No, it's story time. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. So I had a birthday party probably when I was, I must have been 6, 7. I forgot this memory and it's just popped into my head. So my parents got me a magician that came to the house. And we were all sat on the floor and I would have been, I would have been like year one, year two, something like that. And he was getting people up to do tricks for. And he pulled me up and he was going to do this big trick. And he gave me a plastic gun. And he said, I'm just going to show Matty how to do the magic trick. And basically all it was on the back of the gun, there was a switch that changed the noise that the gun made. And I remember being extremely underwhelmed. And he said to me, when I say abracadabra, just turn this switch to the left. So he said abracadabra. And I deliberately, even at that age, knew what I was doing and turned the switch to the right. And everyone laughed. All the kids laughed. And he was a bit flustered. He was like, he's probably misunderstood. This is probably just a dense child. So we said, okay, this time, when I say the magic words, I need you to switch to this position. Can you do that? I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay, blah, blah, blah. So he did it all again, said the magic words. And this time I just didn't switch the switch at all. So it made the same noise as it did the second time. And this went on and he attempted it 3 times before he gave up on this magic trick. And I know I'd forgotten this up until now, but it's one of my proudest moments.
Being petulant and annoying.
Yeah. This was his profession. And I was like, you know what? You're clearly not very good at it. Just because we're only 5 and 6 year olds doesn't mean that you can bring your subpar magic shit. Like, bring your A game or don't turn up at all. I want David Blaine up in this bitch.
What, pushing needles through his arm and his cheek?
Yeah, exactly. Like, do a proper magic trick. Like, I've seen magicians since being an adult. One of the girls that works with me, her dad's a magician. Like, he's really good. And it's just like, occasionally you can sort of go, oh yeah, I can see how that was done. And especially when you're not the one that the trick's being done to, because you're not the one getting the misdirection performed on you. But magic's amazing. And if at 5 I can see through your trick and how you're doing it, then maybe you should have studied something else.
Wait, so are you saying you want a 5-year-old's birthday party?
Yes, because either the magician's going to be awesome, at which point I'm going to be like, this is amazing, or he's going to be awful, at which point I'm going to heckle and ruin his life.
Or it's going to be David Blaine in that cube suspended above the Thames for 4 days, and you'll be like,
yeah, because
what's magic about this?
Because I'll have so much jelly and ice cream to throw at him. And I'd be a pretty good shot because I'd throw it at the peak of my bounce on the bouncy castle.
Oh, very good. Combining birthday party ideas.
Exactly. Like, and you've already said at my funeral, I've got to bury some ex-girlfriends alive. So, not really down.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You said alive. I said previous mistakes.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You said bury them alive. I said bury them dead. So, yeah. Five-year-old kid's birthday party, hands down, purely because I get a magician.
Great.
You can have a magician at a wake?
No. What do you have him do? Like, sit on the end of the crematorium going, I'm now going to make this body disappear. No. Like, pulling flowers out of his sleeve to rest on my grave.
Why not? You'd be there. You'd appreciate it.
the trick that they do where he pulls like the hankies knotted together out of his sleeve and it's just a list of all my mistakes.
And then he lets your ex-girlfriends blow their nose and dry their eyes on the stand sheets. And then open them up and go, oh, that's my name.
And then they lean in to sniff his flower and he squirts them in the face. And everyone goes, hi, it's funny. And they go, this doesn't smell like water. And then I throw my Zippo at them and it's lighter fluid.
Whoa. Whoa, okay. Can you make your decision before you melt anyone else's faces?
I already have. Five-year-old birthday party because it's a magician. And just as a little shout-out, if anybody's not watched Arrested Development, season 5's coming out soon on Netflix, and Job is a magician in that, and he would be the perfect magician. So check it out.
Awesome. Are Netflix sponsoring us?
Not yet.
We're working on it.
We might have our own Netflix show by the time this airs because I need to pull my finger out.
Fair play, okay.
That's the last thing this show needs is face cam. Oh dear. Well, I think that perfectly sums up this week. So thanks everybody for listening. I've been Not John.
I've been John the Peacemaker.
And I've been John Napoleon. Napoleon.
Well,
I thought you were going to go with Joseph Starling.
Oh, very nice, Joseph Starling. Well,
wait. Oh. Paul Augustus. Wait, Augustus, the first Roman emperor.
Alfie, is it, everyone? Bye bye. Julius Caesar.